Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's Disney refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
Hello again, everybody. It's a Friday edition, the Bob and Jeff Show, KFH Radio, Bob Lutz, Jeff Lutz, co-hosting, as always, Max the Power, not in the studio. Andrew Fry is producing and engineering the show. 869-1240. Happy to have you with us as we get to the end of the week. A couple of big football games on tonight involving our teams, KU at home against UNLV, and K-State, Arizona, in what looks to be a Big 12 game, but actually isn't.
They won't play in a Big 12 game.
Before Arizona moved to the Big 12.
That's correct. That's how that works.
Crazy, isn't it?
Wild.
You got to go to the wind surge tonight?
Sure.
Only three more games.
That's right.
How'd our guy do last night?
Walker, hitless. Hitless again. Wind surge only got one hit.
One hit?
Yeah, that was not a game anyone there on the field was interested in playing.
Really?
I don't think so. Both playing for nothing. Tulsa clinched the Propeller Series. So these last three games are meaningless in every way possible.
Well, why do I want to go Saturday night when they're expecting 8,000 people?
Well, they'll put on a nice show. Why don't you go tonight for Taylor Swift night?
Tonight's out of the question.
There's a rumor she might show up in one of the suites tonight.
Yeah, that's probably going to happen. I'll be watching the football games and the Cardinals. That's what I do, and we'll enjoy the evening.
Good luck.
You say they don't care about what happens in the next three games. Derek Bender really didn't care. He was tipping pitches so that he could get that season over with. For the Twins prospects.
Yeah,
round draft pick this year, doing that down at Fort Myers. Twins dumped him, which they should do.
Well, no one will ever.
Why do you throw your career away? How stupid do you have to be?
Not sure. I don't really understand that on any level whatsoever.
He wanted to. This guy has worked his entire life to get to pro baseball, I presume. I mean, that's always been the goal, I would think, once it was determined that he had the talent level to make that happen realistically. And he gets there, and in his first year, he decides, man, I'm done. I'm tired. I want this season to end. Hey, buddy, he's throwing a slider here.
Crazy.
I mean, I don't even understand it. Have you talked to anybody who gets it?
No.
Tell me about you. This is closer to your generation.
What do you mean, my generation? People do stupid stuff all the time. It doesn't have anything to do.
I've never heard of anyone else doing this.
Well, I didn't say they do this. I just said they do stupid stuff. That's not...
Nobody from my generation that I know of has done a stupid thing.
Really? Ever?
Not that I'm aware
of.
That's
crazy. You should maybe write a story about that.
Didn't that upset you, though?
I'm not upset. I mean, it's dumb. Why should I be upset?
That's because the integrity of the game, man.
He's done. He's out of baseball. That went up the chain of command. In the Twins organization.
Was that a point of conversation last night?
Talked about it a little bit last night.
Any Twins people up there weighing in?
No.
Wonder what those players thought.
I'm sure they weren't very happy. They didn't even let him sit in the dugout the last two games of the season.
Of course not.
A team that was in contention for the postseason until...
He didn't want any part of postseason.
He did not.
So
which is only one round, I think. It's not like...
Well, exactly.
Might have had to play three or four more games.
By the way, my Palm Beach Cardinals about to take care of that Florida State League championship. And then, thank you. I mean, good deal, right? You feel good about that.
Couldn't care less.
Well, why? Why?
You care that Lake County won the Midwest League or whatever league they're in?
No, I don't care.
I didn't think they didn't. Yeah, they did.
They don't even have a playoff in that league.
Well, whatever league the Lake County's in.
It's in the Midwest League.
Well, they won it. They were doing champagne bottles last night.
Eh, good for them.
As far as I know.
I'm more into the Palm Beach Cardinals. Keep track of their box scores every night.
That's a sad state of affairs.
No, it isn't, because J.J. Weatherholt's on that team.
Great. But Travis Bazzana's on Lake County. I don't really check their box scores because my actual team is in the race. And
I always check box scores for the minor leaguers. Hey, I'm hooked, man. I'm just a baseball, and I know you are too. I'm crazed about the game. I don't know what happened. I mean, I've always loved baseball, but when I was writing, you go from season to season, and you start to turn your attention, and you cover football, and it's football season, and you're kind of immersed in it. Now that I'm no longer doing that, I don't get as immersed, but I'm just always into baseball.
Yeah, I get it.
Kind of weird. Before you came, I was trying to find an article that I heard was on MLB Pipeline about rating minor league pitching throughout the 30 teams. I'd heard that they'd rated the Cardinals number 3, but I couldn't find the story.
Interesting.
I presume because, Quinn Matthews has developed into quite a prospect and some others. But I don't know. I mean, I was looking for that story.
I wonder why you couldn't find
it. Anyway, I thought you'd be more outraged about Derek Bennett.
Not outraged. There's nothing to be outraged.
This show needs your emotion. We need to come on this show and start talking about things.
Well, let's talk about it.
I mean, if you're going to be,
supposed to say about it?
Listen to me. I'm outraged.
Are you?
Can't you tell? I've been wanting to talk about this since I read about it. I just can't even fathom it. And then some former teammate of his got on Twitter and said every 21-year-old makes mistakes like this. And he's getting chastised.
Yeah,
for
that's
that comment.
Stupid. Every one of them does? That's interesting because I've never heard about this in my life. I found that there is an article, but I can't find the actual... And Travis Bazzana homered last night. How about that?
I told you, man. I try to tell you. I try to forewarn you. I try to gird you for what's about to happen with your Cleveland Guardians. This isn't any kind of series you want right now with Tampa Bay.
Oh, I don't care.
They're going to shut you down. You're not going to do anything offensively. They already have for one game.
They didn't really shut us down.
You had one run.
We had two.
He had no hits after the fourth inning.
Who cares?
I mean, what do you call shutting down?
Who cares? We're up 4. Just win tonight, and it takes care of itself. The top organization, top 11 farm systems with the best pitching prospects. This was published 3 days ago. Number 1, the Pittsburgh Pirates.
Duh.
Number 2, the Chicago White Sox.
Again, they've...
Number 3, the St. Louis Cardinals.
Really?
You just said that.
Well, I feel like I'm learning it for the first time.
Number 4,
can you transfer that article to me?
I'll send it. Are the Guardians on here?
No.
They should be.
No, of course they're not on there.
They've got a lot of good pitching in the minor leagues. Not a lot of good prospects.
You lost 5-2 last night. You had 5 hits. You had nothing outside of, man, nobody had. It's tough.
We lost.
It's got to be nerve-wracking for you.
Not really. I'm trying to distance myself from it a little bit right now.
Emotionally?
Yeah.
How so? Why?
Because I got too far into it, too deep, and it started
and to it
affect
to
my mental health. And
it did?
Yes.
Baseball?
Yeah, believe it or not.
Now, listen, I love the game, and I love the game, but it doesn't... I guess I don't know. I guess I learned a long time ago to not let it dictate my...
Come on.
Well, I don't think I do.
Of course you do.
I don't think...
Where's Duda?
Maybe you need Duda, but I don't think it affects my...
Yeah, it does. You carry that around just as much as anyone else does, and probably more.
Well, have you noticed? I don't know. I don't think so. I get wrapped up, and for about 10 minutes after a loss.
Well, you get on Twitter, you're upset. I mean,
but that's just to have fun.
You kind of wallow in it.
I try to have fun on Twitter.
I don't know if that's fun.
I try to be a little bit irreverent with my... When I tweet about the Cardinals, I'm not on there to be angry.
You're upset. Give me a break.
I'm not on there to
be
angry.
You know you're upset.
I'm on there.
But you are angry.
I don't get angry about the Cardinals.
Oh, I don't believe that.
After about 10 minutes after the game is over. And while I'm watching it, I can get angry.
I think I hate the Cardinals or something like that.
Well, sir, we all have those emotions.
That's anger.
Why are you trying to drag me down into your
cesspool? Because I know how you are. And then this innocent act isn't flying with anybody.
It's the truth. It's flying with me.
I believe that. Maybe you believe it, but...
That's my wife.
Of course she's going to defend you. I've never heard her say a critical word of anyone.
She's been with me thick and thin throughout. So we've watched Cardinals games together now since 2009. Pretty much all of them. Not all of them, but you know what I mean. 80%, we have it on all the time. And while I can get angry, now when they're in the postseason, that's a different matter. But come on. Let it hang out, man. If you're don't back away.
Backing away for the rest of the regular season. Nothing happened.
What if it gets tight?
Then it'll be normal. Those are normal emotions when you're hanging on every pitch. But you shouldn't be doing that in July.
Why?
Why what?
Why wouldn't you hang on every pitch in July?
You just said you don't.
I didn't say I don't. I said I don't get angry.
I didn't.
But I hang on every pitch.
That's
the beauty of baseball.
Letting it affect your mental health when you're hanging on every pitch. That's not productive or healthy.
That's the beauty of sports. I mean, why play the games if people aren't hanging on everything that happens?
There's 162 games.
So what?
Maybe you need to step away for a little bit.
You're wrong about this.
You absolutely do need to step away.
Shocker fans who go to a basketball game
there's
and just
25
get,
of those a year.
And just get they hang on everything, or any basketball fan. They shouldn't do that.
I didn't say that.
What game should I hang on?
Football, 16 a year.
I should hang on everything in football.
Yeah.
Because
every game means something. Not every baseball game means something.
Every baseball game means something.
A lot of basketball games mean something.
Every baseball game means something.
Nah.
Of course they do.
Not tonight, Wind Surge, Drillers. That doesn't mean anything.
No, I'm talking about the big leagues.
No.
And tonight's Guardians game means something.
Does tonight's White Sox game mean something?
Sure.
Or the
who are
Rockies?
They playing?
I don't know. Somebody will beat them. I think they play Oakland.
Yeah, that's fun. Oakland's kind of been resurgent this year.
They've been better.
But they've been a lot better.
Yeah, they've been better. Good for them.
Where is that game?
I want to say it's in Chicago, but...
Do you even know that they're playing?
Yes. I saw it earlier.
Well, good for them. Oakland at Chicago tonight. Brady Basso. Wonder if he's related to former Wichita Wranglers catcher Chris Basso.
Is that a real
Mike
person?
Mike Basso. Who I really enjoyed covering. He was funny guy. Look that up for me, would you?
He was an advanced scout. It hurt. Where is Where is this Basso from?
I don't know. I'm just curious. You don't see that name that often. He's from Pearland, Texas.
Well, Pearland. And Pearland. Other Basso
I
guy
call
was
Pearland.
Other Basso guy was from Texas.
Mike Basso
out of Dallas. So yeah, that's a good chance.
Well, that's interesting to me. I'm glad I came across that. It doesn't mean anything to you or to most listeners. And nobody, you know what? You know what I'm almost 100% sure of?
What?
Nobody listening to this show, now or ever, would have heard of Mike Basso.
No, I
played in the big leagues.
Yeah, he is the son of Mike Basso.
How about that? That gives me satisfaction.
It is just amazing.
Why do you say that?
I don't know.
My memory?
Yeah, that's it.
Well, to go ahead and say it.
Yeah, that's what,
now,
what,
one
what I
time,
was thinking.
Pay me a compliment on this show one time.
Brady Basso out of Oklahoma State University.
Go ahead and do it.
Pitched on the same staff as former Cleveland Guardian Peyton Battenfield.
Can you go ahead and do it?
I don't remember what we're talking about.
Pay me a compliment. Say, man, that's pretty good recall.
That's amazing, man.
About what is? What's
that
amazing?
Stuff you did.
What?
That stuff you just did.
What I do?
Where you did the thing.
You know, people are going to think that you're just anti-Bob Lutz.
Why would they think that?
Because you never seem to be pro-Bob Lutz.
No, I'm always pro-Bob Lutz.
You never leave this house and have a thought about, well, the old man still got it. Still.
Really? You think I would think something like that?
That I don't have it?
No, I don't think that.
That I do have it?
I don't think that either.
Do you ever think about it?
Not really. I think you're doing fine.
You know, I hate subdued people. I just can't deal with them.
Why?
I mean, I don't know. When Duda's over here, you're over here, you're both, you know, tired, sleepy.
I feel a little better today, but not much.
It's difficult for me. Because I'm raring to go at 2 o'clock.
Why are you raring to go?
I'm always raring to go.
Well, I don't have a fight in me today, necessarily.
Well, you better get some.
What's on the show? Maybe I'll fight
one of them. I'll tell you what's on the show right now. Taylor Eldridge is going to join us momentarily at 2:25 to talk about Wichita State Athletics. Shocker Volleyball playing Nebraska today.
That's a tough one.
Today. Is it today? It might be tomorrow. They played a nationally ranked Arizona State last night, and that did not go particularly well. Arizona State handled them in straight sets. And then we'll get the latest update on Paul Mills, Wichita State basketball. See how that's all looking. Some recruiting news has come down the pike, so we'll get with Taylor Eldridge here momentarily. At 2:45, I've reached out to Troy Black, head football coach at Collegiate. I have not heard back.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if that's going to happen or not. If you're at Collegiate and you're listening to this show, you might nudge Coach Black and see if...
he's got a lot going on.
Well, they play Rose Hill tonight.
You know who we should have talked to?
And who?
Garden City coach, whoever that is.
Why? What happened there?
Garden City traveling to Olathe Northwest to play a 740-mile round trip.
You know what? There's more bonding going on that trip. That's the highlight of the year for those guys.
Very well could be.
You know, we always say, oh, how do you travel? Why does this state guard against that stuff? We have a big state. Go see it. You're in Garden City, probably the first time up in that area for some of those kids.
I'm sure it is.
Let's go play them.
Why not?
Probably bust up there yesterday.
You think so?
Sure.
I hope it was today.
Well, you're not going to leave on a 360-mile trip today.
If you leave at 8, you're there by 3.
You're leggy, man. You're playing football. You need a night to... You can't be crunched up.
You want to get in, sleep in your own bed. You want
8 hours, and
they got out and stretched a couple times and went to eat, and you know they took it easy.
I'll guarantee you they didn't leave today.
I guarantee you they did because we
called
them.
What'd they say?
They said the AD's on the bus right now.
Why'd you call him?
I didn't call him.
Well, what were you trying to do? Why?
We were
why
trying
bother?
To catch up with the bus.
Here?
Wherever they were. I don't know how it worked out.
So you're going to go film the bus rolling through town?
No, we were going to go talk to them when they stopped and see what are you guys doing?
Why would they come through Wichita?
I'm not saying they did. I'm saying wherever they were on
I-70. You're going to drive up to I-70?
We have a reporter based out of Newton, and she could hop up to Salina or wherever they
through. I don't know if that's a story or not. Let me think about it. All right, Taylor Eldridge joins us on the IHOP hotline, now entering his, how many years now covering Shocker Athletics? I want to say seventh year. Here's Taylor Eldridge.
Told you.
Joining us from the Wichita Eagle. Taylor, we were talking how many years now on the beat for you, the Shocker beat. Is this number seven?
Yeah, I came over the same year they went to the American Athletic Conference, so I've kind of, that's how, easy way to market, you know, with Paul did a great job and doing the Missouri Valley, then hands it off to me for the AAC. So, yep, you're number seven.
There you go. So let's start with Wichita State and the AAC. We saw yesterday more realignment with the Pac-12 dipping into the Mountain West Conference. That's pretty close. That's a comparable conference to the AAC. Now a lot of banter about what's next for the Pac-12. All kinds of schools being thrown out there. I said yesterday on this show, without having really anything to base it on, except just talking to people throughout my life here on radio, that Tulane and Memphis are very eager to get out of the American Athletic. Seems like they would be pretty good fits if the Pac-12 wants to forego that regional thing. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, it does seem like I would agree. Memphis and Tulane, you know, with the football, the level that they're playing at right now, I think they are, you know, looking for better opportunities to move up. And, you know, it kind of reminds me of, you know, what you would hear about Cincinnati and Houston and UCF, schools like that, you know, and UConn as well, you know, when WSU joined, you know. The American was never really, you know, kind of a conference where everyone was happy to be there. It felt like, you know, schools that had kind of been left out in the cold in the football conferences. And, yeah, so anytime you're in a conference like that, it's going to be a lot of movement. And that's what we've seen in the American. You know, four schools have left. This is not the conference that Wichita State signed up for. But they had to know back then that this was a risk. When you're joining a conference like that with so much, you know, chance for this happening. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see where the dominoes fall now. Because, like you said, Memphis, Tulane, schools like that are going to be looking to be on the move. So how that affects Wichita State, you know, we'll have to wait and see. But it does feel like there is definitely more movement ahead.
Does it still feel like a conference of misfits, the AAC, only just a level lower, instead of teams vying to get out? You know, there are teams from lower conferences moving up into the AAC. Is this even a conference that has, you know, long-term viability?
Yeah, you know, if you would have asked me, you know, 5 years ago, I would have said, yeah, you know, I think the American is, you know, they're set up to be kind of that next best, you know, outside of the Power Five structure. But, you know, you lose Houston, Cincinnati, UCF, and now, you know, if they lose Memphis, Tulane, very, very hard to see that being a, you know, a viable basketball conference, that, you know, multi-bid conference that Wichita State was hoping that they were getting into, you know, back when they made that transition. So, and who knows, you know, we saw how quickly conferences can crumble like the Pac-12 and then be reborn like, yeah, you know, what we saw this past weekend with the Pac-12. You know, now it's looking like they might be reborn. So, yeah, just crazy stuff in conference realignment. And, you know, I think the perception nationally is that it is a conference of misfits. I think if you talk to, you know, schools individually, they probably deny that. But, yeah, it just feels like, you know, kind of a bunch of just – you know, schools in the same kind of area that, like I said, they all kind of most of the, you know, the football playing schools are the ones that kind of got left out in the cold. And in the old conference realignment, it just feels like, you know, everyone's kind of looking out for themselves, and it doesn't have that same kind of feel that, you know, the Missouri Valley did.
We're talking with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle beat writer, Wichita State Athletics. Wanted to turn to volleyball here. It's been an interesting start for the Shockers. They showed no fear in scheduling, that's for sure. They've already played three ranked teams, Kansas, Arkansas, Arizona State last night. They have Long Beach State tonight or this afternoon. And then tomorrow they play number five, Nebraska, in Lincoln. They have lost those three previous games against ranked teams in straight sets. What do you make of Shocker volleyball here early in the year?
Yeah, you mentioned it. Just like the strength of schedule, incredibly hard. And, you know, obviously Chris Lamb wants to do that every season, you know, really test his team before they get to conference play, because he knows, you know, the American is probably a one-bid conference. So, you know, you want your team to be playing, you know, its best. You know, if it takes, you know, three, four, five losses, that's okay. You know, if they would have won some of these, okay, you know, it's just found money, because then you can kind of build it at large. Resume, win a couple of those. But yeah, you know, you look at the schedule, the results, they beat who they should have beat. They lost to probably who they should have lost to. So no real, you know, I don't think we've discovered anything about this team. You know, they're still working through, it seems like, rotations. You know, I know they've had some injuries that they're waiting for some of the, you know, some key players to get back in the lineup. So we'll have to wait and see, but I do think, you know, it's all building up into conference play, and they are, you know, they were second in the preseason poll, so they're going to be right there for the conference title. And with the tournament being in Wichita, that's going to be a huge benefit for them. So I think it's all building up to that week at Coke Arena in November.
Thank goodness they're having a tournament now in the American in volleyball. That's long overdue.
Yeah, exactly.
Basketball, Taylor, it seemed like last year in Paul Mills' kind of first foray into recruiting for Wichita State that, you know, he's just kind of trying to fill the roster, missed on a lot of guys, got some guys late, and it never really came together. And then this year it seems like he targeted guys and then went and got them, and it wasn't just about, you know, we've got an open roster spot, who can we get to fill it? Is that your impression too, and how meaningful will that be to the on-court product?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a huge difference anytime you have a whole year in recruiting, because a lot of that recruiting, you know, whether coaches want to say it or not, you know, it does happen towards those, you know, the February, March of the regular season. You get an idea of what guys might be going into the portal. And if you don't have that leg up on, you know, other coaches when you're recruiting for your program, that's a huge, you know, disadvantage. So I think you're seeing Wichita State, you know, the first full recruiting cycle. Yeah, they were able to go out and target some guys. And obviously the NIL situation has improved, from what I've been told, and that made a difference. And yeah, they were able to go out and get some difference makers. And like you said, they had a lot of spots to fill. So, you know, they were pretty intentional in what they were looking for in the transfer portal. Obviously wanted to shore up the turnovers. They wanted to, you know, improve the shooting, but really, you know, improve the ball handling for this team. And that's what you saw in who they were able to go in the portal and get.
Talking now with Taylor Eldridge, we had Kevin Saul on recently, and he probably didn't leave that interview very high on me, because they released their non-conference schedule for men's basketball, and it's not, in my opinion, it's not great. They do have a home game in Coke Arena against Kansas State coming up on December 21st, Jeff's birthday, by the way. But outside of that, the home part of the schedule, in my opinion, is a little lacking. Also, there's no game at Intrust Bank Arena this year for the first time in quite some time. Tell me why I shouldn't be a little disturbed by it.
Yeah, I think it's the new, just the effect of, you know, the net scheduling, you know, with the buckets of, you know, quad one, quad two. It's just really hard to get quality games when you're playing at home. And, you know, obviously Wichita State, their name brand has taken a little bit of a hit. You know, it's been 7 years since the tournament win, so it's not as easy to, you know, bring in the OUs and the Oklahoma States and the, you know, the K-States, Baylor, you know, Big 12 schools that we saw. So what you're seeing is that they're replacing that interest game, and they're basically moving it to Kansas City, and they feel like they're going to be able to schedule much better competition, and then you get the neutral floor aspect of it for the net, and that makes it easier to get a quad two game where, you know, if you bring, like, for instance, they're playing St. Louis and KC this year. I think St. Louis is going to be really good. First-year head coach, they're bringing over an instant impact star. I think they're going to be a top 100 team easily, maybe even top 50. So that's like a quad two guaranteed. If you bring that to Wichita, you know, that's going to be quad three, and it's going to be, you know, a tough game. So you're not getting much juice for the squeeze, I would say. So I think it's you have to walk that line, because, like you said, you know, fans are going to get frustrated if they're playing. You know, if you look at the season ticket schedule and all your, you know, you're looking forward to Alcorn State, and, you know, they are playing Northern Iowa. I think that's kind of the second year they brought in an old Missouri Valley school. You know, I think fans enjoy that, reviving those rivalries. But you're right, you know, all the impact games on this schedule are on neutral courts or on the road. So, you know, I think it's a little better than maybe what you think for the net. Well, I'd have to agree with you. If you're just a fan and you're going to games in Wichita, I would be a little underwhelmed by the schedule. But you're right, you know, the K-State game, if Wichita State plays as well as they think they can, and I think K-State is going to be really, really good this year, that could be a very highly, a huge showdown at Coke Arena. That was big for them to be able to bring K-State to Coke Arena and not play downtown.
And they are playing a game at Wintrust Arena against DePaul in Chicago. So maybe will suffice for this year. Taylor, thanks. We always appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
All right, Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle.
Did you get the information you needed there?
Yeah, I feel good about it.
We should probably get Terry Nooner on the show pretty soon.
Well, we'll get him on.
Talk a little women's basketball.
We had him on.
I know, but...
We'll get him on. We'll work on it.
Season and...
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snapple, it's refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Troy Black joins us. He's a head football coach at Wichita Collegiate. We appreciate him doing so on a game day. They are at Rose Hill later this evening to take on the Rockets. Opened with a hard-fought 22-19 win over Wellington in week one. Troy, welcome. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
We're doing well. I would imagine that as opening games go, you learned a lot about your football team against Wellington last week, being a close game, a tough game. Probably a good way to get started, especially since you won, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we knew it was going to be hard. They got a great team. They got almost everybody back. And it was really – it was a game we really needed because we got a lot of guys that had a lot of playing time, but we've got new quarterback and, you know, some of our skill guys were hurt last year and didn't get to finish the year. So it was a good test for us. We definitely learned a lot. We, you know, we got a lot of things that we got to get better at, and some of the things we've been getting away with got exposed because we played a really, really good team. So it was a great teaching tape for us and for the kids. But I was real proud of how they battled. That was probably the greatest thing that we took from it, was just how they stayed resilient and they just kept fighting and found a way to get it done. And knowing that they didn't play their best and against a really good team, it really made for a really good week this week.
Yeah, I'm interested in, you said the things we used to get away with or that we got away with. Was this stuff obviously talking about last season, and how do you now go about shoring things up now that maybe the guys can look at it on tape and see it?
Well, you know, our depth is not, you know, it's hard to practice. You know, we got 50 some kids out, and there's a, you know, we thought we had a pretty good second group as far as maybe they were ready to play, and so they're not quite ready. And so it was hard to just tell, you know, where we were based on what we had to go against. You know, we didn't do a jamboree. We just, you know, do a couple scrimmages among ourselves. And, you know, we saw things in the tape about, you know, we're not taking good steps. We're not reading coverage very well. But, you know, in practice you get away with it because, you know, you're going against somebody that's, you know, obviously they're not good enough to start on your team. So getting to play them and the great guys that they have, it really showed what happened, you know, because, you know, we lost some good group guys from last year. You know, Hudson was a great leader and quarterback for us. And so, you know, having Harry Simon now at quarterback, who was a receiver a year ago, it was just all new for the guys. And so it was just a great learning tool for our guys to really see what they need to do better and improve upon.
Troy Black is our guest. You mentioned moving a receiver to quarterback this year. Happens to be the grandson of Mr. Collegiate, Mike Gere. How'd that work out? And was that just a no-brainer that you wanted him to be the quarterback and step away from that receiver role? And how did that all come about?
Well, he was going to be our quarterback last year, and then Hudson transferred in. And so Harry's just too good of an athlete not to play, so he gets on his way at receiver. Technically, our backup quarterback a year ago. And so going into this season, he had at least some reps last year, and we knew he was going to be the guy this year for sure. We got a couple young kids that just aren't quite ready to go yet. And he's a good athlete. You know, he's not the biggest kid in the world, but he's a very good athlete. He's very smart. He's been our leader on defense the last 2 years as our what we call our safety. And so his leadership skills was definitely a guy that we wanted to have the ball in his hands every down. He can run. He's a good runner. Learning to be a passer. I mean, we're not going to throw like we did with Hudson, but he's getting better throwing the ball. But he's just a good all-around athlete, just very natural.
I'll say it so you won't have to, but I would say you're heavily favored tonight against Rose Hill, and then next week against El Dorado. The following week is at Andale. So in games where you are favored and maybe it's not necessarily as much about the opponent, how do you prepare for those games? And, you know, when you go into Andale or against Andale, do you prefer having games and practices leading up to those where it is kind of more about you and what you do?
Yeah, I mean, that's really what we talk to the kids about, you know, right now anyway. Really, the first four games are just about us getting better. You know, we're just trying to get better ourselves and worry about us. You know, we know that we're going to get everybody's best shot. You can throw everybody's record out when they play collegiate because we're the private school. And, we Rose Hill's going to play us tough, and they're going to play it hard. And, you know, we're just trying to go out and get better. And we got some inexperience on the line. We're still trying to find pieces to our offensive line. We got a couple secondary guys that we're trying to get into the mix. And so we got some guys that we can get better so we can get ready to play. Because we got, you know, our district is brutal. You got Pratt, you got Cheney. Of course, you have Andale, which is not in district. But you got Clearwater, who last week had opening game. So every week we feel like we play somebody really good. But right now we're just focusing on trying to get better ourselves and just, you know, put that on film and go from there.
Troy Black, the head football coach at Collegiate High School. You mentioned your upcoming schedule, and it's after you get past a couple and you start with Andale, Pratt, Clearwater, Cheney, Chaparral, that's pretty formidable. It felt like for a long time it was kind of a two-team party between Collegiate and Andale. And here comes Cheney now, and they've kind of crashed this party. They have an exceptional program as well. I always heard three's a crowd. This makes this very interesting, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, really it's been an angle. We've yet to live up to our billing. But, you know, you throw Cheney in the mix, and Shelby's doing a phenomenal job over there, and they're on a roll, and they got a great thing going. And, I mean, just in this area, there's three really, really good 3A football teams. It's tough. It's hard. And, you know, Andale's not going anywhere. Dylan's got that machine still rolling. So, yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, man, you can't really feel like day off. You had it working, and now you have both those guys on your. We'll know at least going to the playoffs where are we set and where, you know, what are we getting better at? How close have we closed the gap? If we close the gap, so it'll be interesting. I mean, we're excited about playing everybody because we feel like our schedule is going to prepare us for that playoff run. But yeah, there's a couple of monsters just sitting right out there waiting on you.
And by the way, Andale and Cheney don't play in the regular season this year, but you get them both. Good job, Troy. Way to schedule that.
I know. My AD does. He's a basketball guy, so go figure.
So can you tell us more about your personnel? We heard about the quarterback. Who else are you planning on having a good year for you this year?
Well, we got Julian Johnson, who, you know, took over for Jaden Parker when he got hurt last year, and Julian was right at 1,000 yards rushing. He's a junior. He's our little. You know, I kind of look at the backfield like K-State. You know, they got the big guy, little guy. We got a big guy in Jaden Parker. We got our little guy in Julian. He's a tough, tough runner. Receiving wise, we got Sebastian Hines Turner, who's been a starter for us last year. He's 6'5". We got Marcus Gorgeous, who's 6'4". Roman Harani is on the other side. He's 6'2", 6'1". So we got good receivers. A.J. Batiste, who's kind of known for basketball, has come out and had a great week last week, had 100 yards receiving and did some jet sweeps and did some good stuff for us. So our skill guys are really good. We're excited about our skill set. Our line, you know, Tristan Sproul, one of the best football players I've ever coached here at Collegiate. He's undersized lineman, but he is tough, as mean, and as strong as anybody. He's a four-year starter. He kind of holds our line down. Last week he had 5 tackles, and all of them were for loss on the D-line. He's just a great, great football player. So those guys are kind of the highlight of the offense. And then, like I said, Tristan on defense leads our defense. We got a kid named Cooper Arneson who's back. He tore his ACL last year. That's actually the second ACL tear he's had in his high school career, and he's just a mean, tough, physical. And we got him back, which he had a great game last week. Was in a lot of tackles. Secondary-wise, Harry, of course, like I said, leads our secondary. Marcus, you know, started at corner last year, so did Sebastian. Cooper Brown, he's a returning All-State honorable mention kid as a senior as a D-line. So those are kind of the core group of guys that we're building around. And then, you know, got some young guys. A lot of the skill guys are young, Jaden and Julian and Seabass and AJ. Those guys are all juniors. And so we got good juniors, but our senior group is – you know, that's the group that a lot of those guys have played a lot of football for. So that's kind of our core group of guys that we're leaning on and looking for and the leadership and all that good stuff.
All right. Well, I greatly appreciate you coming on any day, but especially on a game day. Again, Collegiate tonight at Rose Hill. Troy Black, the Spartans head coach, has been with us. Troy, thank you. Best of luck to tonight and the rest of the way.
Awesome. Thank you guys very much.
All right, there you go. A little Wichita Collegiate for you. We'll try to spread the wealth around here.
Sure do.
As much as we can.
Did you catch my Friday Five today?
Did not.
Well, you better get on that.
Why don't you send that to me?
Well, I don't feel like I should have to.
Well, it would help me prepare.
Well,
I don't have a lot of time to go searching for your Friday Five.
Catchitkansas.com.
Oh, I'll look into it.
You'll type that in now and...
I'll look into it when we take a break.
Good.
It's not like I wake up saying, well, I got to get that catch.
Yeah, but as you get going through your day.
You just mentioned the 5 games you picked last week were routes.
Well, we'll see how they go this week.
We will. I hope Wellington Andale's on there.
Maybe, maybe not. You'll have to find out.
It is, and if it's not...
Why would it be? Wellington lost last week.
Wellington's pretty good.
Wellington last year did not measure up with Andale.
Pretty good. That's an interesting game. Now, Andale will win it, but how competitive can Wellington be? We'll ask Joanna Chadwick that. She's our true expert.
Really? Why don't you go to catchitkansas.com?
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch. Did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's absolutely refreshing!
Hi, I'm Kirk Cameron. Is health insurance eating up your budget for 2026? If you're looking for ways to better steward your finances, consider this. Christian Healthcare Ministries is a health insurance alternative at half the cost. As a ministry, CHM allows you to share the burden of medical bills with other believers. Join CHM today by visiting chministries.org/solution. That's chministries.org/solution.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.